As I was getting ready to come up here, and Jordan, my little granddaughter, she's very perceptive to just information and stuff that goes on. And she asked me, she goes, "Papa, have you and Nana got married yet?" Yeah, approximately 30 years ago. Yeah, praise the Lord, and it's been a wonderful 30 years. We are, and I say this, and I mean it with all sincerity. And I know it's not tongue in cheek. It's we are in love and with each other more than ever before, and we love each other more than ever before. And I don't mean to say that in a way that makes you feel anything weird or ooey or. It just is, it's God, by the grace of God. I got to tell you that. I must follow it up with that. It's by God's grace. It's in God's grace that we are in love with each other and love each other. I don't really like the term in love with, but not just because I feel like it's something, it's used too many different ways in a different light. Like, I fall in love, I fell out of love, and it's like it's something that you, I think love is so much deeper than that. And that's why I kind of want to, that's a nice little segue into what I want to talk about this morning. And not just this morning, it's going to actually be some time frame here that we're going to discuss this issue and an aspect of Christianity that we are called to do, which is actually all of us worship something or someone. I don't know if we realize that or not, but every single person, we worship something or someone. You want to find out who or what you worship? Just if you, do you really? I mean, one person does? Okay. Okay. Is what are you like? What you become like what you worship? And that's basically, and it's not, I'm not just talking about how you dress. I had somebody say to me one time when I wore a Steelers jersey to church, and they said, "Oh, look at that, you become what you worship, and I'm like, no, that's not exactly it. It's like, that's not exactly it. So, but we do become like what we worship. If you worship God, what does that mean? You become like God. It's really that simple. We could say that and be done. And I could say,
see you next week.
Yeah. But I'd like to discuss this because I really feel like this is a good topic of discussion. And I think it's one that is misconstrued quite often, misunderstood, is worship. Last week we started getting into this, and didn't have a lot of time, so I'm going to carry into some things that I felt like the Lord wanting us to hear, even this morning, and even more so. And I believe it's going to go into deeper places as the Lord leads us. In John, remember, John chapter 4 is that little discourse, that discussion that Jesus has with the Samaritan woman at the well. And this Samaritan woman at the well I just think it's such a almost laughable thing that happens here in this discussion. Is he gets into some of the most in-depth theological discussions with people that you wouldn't think that he'd have these discussions with, or at least that we have scriptural evidence in the reference to these discussions with people that you wouldn't think. You'd think he would be discussing them with religious leaders and the people that, in the temple and the places in church, if you will. But instead, it's at places at a well, at places at a pool, at places that taxpayers' houses. And he has these deep theological discussions that we have insight to in some of the strangest places. And I like that about Jesus. I like everything about Jesus, but I like that aspect of Jesus. He doesn't hold back because he doesn't think a person's unable or incapable of understanding or comprehending what he wants to share with that person. You guys receive that?
Yeah.
You guys hear that?
Yeah.
I think that's true for all of us. I want to say something right off the bat, and I feel like the Lord said, you need to say this. And I said, okay, it's weird, but I'll say it. I want you to understand that I respect you. I mean that. I respect you. I revere you. And if there's anything I ever say that belittles you or demeans you, I apologize. And I want you to know that I want a spirit of camaraderie, if you will, to exist and to permeate this house all the time. So I was like, okay, I'll say it then. I respect you. I just need to say that. So I'll move on. Okay. All right. John chapter 4. Well, thank you, brother. Thank you. Well, I hope so, but I know that there sometimes can be times that, you know, when I say the term, like, are you with me? I'm not assuming that you're not with me. I'm so excited about this point or something that I want to share. I need you to, like, tune in, extra tune, fine tune, if you will, for the moment. Does that make sense? It's not implying that you're not with me. You guys hear me on that? Is that okay? Can I just be open with you guys for a minute? Yeah? All right, good. It is church. I know it's supposed to be like, you're supposed to sit and be like, you know.
We're not here.
If you felt like you were supposed to be that way, sorry. I'm not advocating go across the street, but it's a great church across the street. He's a good friend of mine. Fantastic man of God that I love dearly. But I think, anyway, John chapter 4, starting in verse 23, I just want to hit this verse because this is what he says. He says, the hour is coming and now is here. This is this discussion when he's talking to the Samaritan woman about getting a drink of water. And she says, well, you Jews worship over here can somebody tell me real quick the mount? I know the mount that the Samaritans, it's Gerizim. Gerizim, is that how you pronounce it? Gerizim, okay. See, exactly. That's why I asked somebody else to do it, because you guys can now discuss how to properly pronounce it. The Jews, it was Mount Zion. It was the mount that they say you worship on it. So there's a discussion, and it's a theological discussion. And they really did have there was division amongst Jews and Samaritans over this issue. It was a real issue. You worship here. You say we worship here. You say you worship there. You say you worship like this. We say we worship like that. So that was a real issue. And she brought it front and center to this guy that she just met, Jesus. She didn't know who he was. And I love the thing that he says, and I'm going back from memory because I love what he says. If you knew who was speaking to you, the one that was speaking to you, if you knew me, you would be asking me for a drink of living water. And I like that because he's not at all condemning her for, you know, remember he brings up the point, say, hey, go get your husband. And she says, well, I don't have one. He says, well, yeah, you're right. You had five of them. And the man you're living with, you're not married to him yet. So, but go get him. I mean, he's not saying that in condemnation. And he's speaking to her as somebody that he respects enough to share something with her that's very true. And he says, here, come to, look at this is what I want to talk to you about what worship really actually is. Worship really actually is. It's this. He says, but the hour is coming and now is here when true worshipers, isn't that a strong implication that there's such thing as false worshipers? We all worship something or someone. I think the goal and the intent is if we really serious about this is, wouldn't you want to be worshiping that which is actually true? Doesn't that make sense? Hello? Doesn't that really make a lot of sense to worship that which is actually true?
Oh, yes.
It sure does. It sure does. I have lots of friends that have different beliefs in different religious beliefs altogether. I mean, a completely different faiths, if you will. Yeah, they have different faces too, but they have a different faith. Robin and I have a really dear friend of ours who's Buddhist. I have many Mormon friends, many, that I would count them as a friend, somebody I would call on to say, hey, can you help me do this? Can you help me with something? We have these friends, and I'm thinking, and my heart's cry, and my even a sadness of my heart is they've chosen to worship that which is not true. And I'm thinking, isn't that something that is the Spirit of God within us that says drives us to this desire and a want to worship that which is true? Absolutely. So here's what he says: true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. Do you like what he says there? I know, Mike, you like what he says there. He's not seeking worship. What is he seeking? People that worship him in spirit and truth. It's all about the people. It's all about the connection. Last week we took communion because it was, again, I love that, wow, man, what the Holy Spirit gave me the last week. I'm not living on last week, but man, I'm taking last week into this week and saying, I love the idea of the great exchange. I cannot get over that. I'm just like enthralled with that whole concept of God, the life giver, and us choosing death, us choosing our own way and making a big, huge, humongous, massive mess of it. And he still comes in and he says, I'll take that big, huge, humongous, massive mess that you made and give you peace and rest and life. For exchange for what? What did I ever do to deserve that or to earn such a thing? Absolutely nothing. The only thing I earned was a mess. That's what I've earned. Anybody here earn something better than that? No. Oh, okay. Thank you, Diane. Woo-hoo. Nope. Oh, wait. I got to say it. If you do feel like you've earned something better than that, you've earned the biggest mess of all. Because now you got a religious spirit that's tacked on top of the actual mess that you're in. Boy,
You got a shiny turd.
Yeah. Oh, that's a burden on top of a burden. That's like, how do I get you to understand that? That is you're carrying a backpack weight of rocks, and then somebody hands you, George over here takes his loader and picks up this massive boulder and says, here, now carry this too. Yeah, you know why? It's so heavy and massive. The reason George picks up big rocks and drops them on his toes. That's why he limps around a little bit. I don't know if you noticed that or not.
His wife comes along and cleans it up.
Hey, sometimes our wives sound and work a lot like God. So I'm not going to argue with that one. Anyway, let's go on. That's another day. Again, I wanted to discuss this because it's just such a good point where he talks about the hour is coming and now is here. You know, Jesus is detailing this overlap between God's time and humanity's time. God's time, which is beyond time. The only picture I think that I can even try to get it when we talk about humanity's time, our time that we're in, is linear. So we look at it as a line, right? A start and a finish. But God's time to me is like it's not linear, but it involves a line, but it's also like a circle. Like there's nothing that can define it because we can't define it with our terms, our understanding. So it's beyond time. Now he steps into time and he's beyond it, and he's above it, beyond it, outside of it, however you want to word it. It's God is in it. Now it doesn't, I don't want us to think that God doesn't exist in time, like because in heaven it's very clear that time is going to exist. I don't know if we realize that. I know we've stated it kind of otherwise. Some people have different ways, but time is going to exist. It's not as though time is, but it's going to be in an understanding and in a realm that we don't understand now because we're not in it. We're in linear time, start and finish. When we get there in eternity, it's going to be above and beyond start and finish, which I can't even explain it because it's unexplainable. Does that make sense? If somebody can explain it, I'm welcome and open to listening to how that can. You know what? That's so awesome. It's so true. Yeah, yeah.
And the stories that are told about Jesus and about children coming to Jesus indicate that they know that he is beyond time.
Amen.
And they won't be with him.
Amen. That's so true. Good point, David. He's basically said that children get it. Boy. That's a whole nother message. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I'm taking notes somewhere. True worship that the Father seeks. Oh, I missed something. Who's teaching back there? Okay. The word in, where the word in is very key. So let's go back to the text real quick. True worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. That word in, and just a little English lesson here for a second, is a preposition that governs the pronouns spirit and truth. Do you understand that? So in other words, it's not, they don't govern just one, spirit or truth. They govern both, spirit and truth. So true worshipers will worship God in spirit and truth. You can't separate them. I mean, you can make an attempt to separate them, but like Devin said, I was talking to him about it. He said, yeah, but that's like separating mac and cheese. A mac and cheese dish is mac and cheese because it's mac and cheese. You could order macaroni, and then what do you have? Macaroni. You could order cheese, or you could go buy cheese, and what do you have? Just cheese. But to get mac and cheese, you got to order mac and cheese, or make mac and cheese, right? It's like, gosh, man, these kids are so deep. You should spend time with them and talk to them. Oh, yeah. Right, Robert? Yeah. Yeah. Cordell's getting deep. Hunter and Trevor, they're like, yeah. We'll get there eventually. Who else is back there? I love you guys. Let me tell you something deep that I did read and hear, because it's a friend of Blake's and Devin's. I don't think Cameron ever took Clink, did he? Professor Clink? Yeah, he wasn't into taking Greek language. They took Greek, and Clink is a professor at Biola. Wrote an entire... He's written some of the, I've got some of his books, I'm serious, like each and every, on John, and he wrote one on Matthew also, just John so far? Okay, just John. He wrote a book it's about 400 to 500 pages this thick on just the book of John, and it's like, wow. So he says this, and I thought it was really good. He says, true worship is paternal in focus, which is directed at the Father, personal in origin, which is directed towards the Son, and pneumatic in character, which is directed towards the Spirit. Pneumatic, what does pneumatic mean? It's pneumatic tools, right? Which means what? It's flowing. It's moving. It's movement. It's airflow. It's like, and that's what Jesus said, you know which way the wind flows. He said, but you don't know about the Spirit. It's a movement. So true worship is a movement. It's something that we engage in. It's not just sitting still. It's not stable. It's not stagnant. It's movement. Something happens. So that's where I want us to talk about this morning, because I think that's exactly what we want to deal with here is understanding that it's more than, and I believe we need to really come to this grips of this, worship is more than just singing. Do you realize this? And we're going to talk about this probably, if not next week, the week after, the difference between, and I'm not talking about them being a difference, between praise and worship. We use that term together as though they're maybe combined together, but it's worship. If we reduce worship to just simply singing, then I believe what we've done is we've reduced the very thing that is moving, and it's in touch with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, to just singing. We will simply come to this place that where I connect with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit is in this place of singing, a place of where I lift my voice. Do any of you connect with God more than and other than this place and in that very moment that we just sing? I'm asking a question. It's a rhetorical question. The answer is, of course, we connect with God outside of the place of singing. Hello? So it only makes logical sense that it's more than that, right? Because worship is that place where we connect with God. God connects with us. And that's where I got into the idea. It's this great exchange. You know, it's us exchanging, us giving Him our heavy laden burdens and Him giving us rest. That's a place of worship, right? And remember, Isaiah 61 talks about us trading in a spirit of doom and gloom or an ashes and giving us a garment of praise. Trading in a spirit of despair for a garment of praise. How many of you on board for that one? Yeah. Yeah. Right?
Right?
Right? Amen. Amen. And that's good news. That's the great exchange. That's a place of worship. Let's go into Romans chapter 12, because he says it, I think, a perfect way. He says it this way, verses 1 and 2, Romans 12, 1 and 2. It's a popularly quoted passage of Scripture. You guys doing okay? Everybody okay? Praise the Lord.
Good.
Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You hear what he's saying in that? With the topic that we're discussing here, it's very simple to come to the conclusion that an act of worship is a presentation of from myself to God, my entire living being to God. Nowhere in there is it mentioning singing or praising. Does worship involve singing and praising? Absolutely it does. Absolutely it does. In fact, it involves it so much so that I believe that it's the place, it's the outcropping, the evidence of what is in my heart is when it bubbles up and I can't help it.
Amen.
I like raising my hands and I like doing stuff like jumping, but I'm not very good at it and stuff, you know, hurts and stuff after I do it anymore. But... If I could, man, I would dance a shindig, man, for the Lord, because I would just, sometimes I just can't help it. And it comes out in different ways that are so passionate, so alive within me that I can't help but like say, I gotta just express it. To me, that's an expression of worship. Hello?
Can we
right?
bring you out of that?
Do what? George, help me, brother. Help me. Okay. Yeah. I need Brian to teach me how, and George to just like hold me down and say, no, brother, just do what you're good at. It's like, okay.
You want me to teach you how to honor and worship God?
How to dance.
No, you said express. Express your worship of God.
Yeah.
Let it go.
Let it go. Okay, there you go. Let it go.
Let
no.
It go, baby.
Amen. Amen.
What's he going to say?
Preach it, brother. Preach it, brother.
Yeah, you need to worship like this guy.
Yeah. That was a good word. That was a good word. And I received that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
If you look like Carlton, I'm taking you out.
No, I love Carlton, man. If I could dance like Carlton, I'd be all right. Yes. Yeah. I do know, and that song is I like it. I get into theological discussions with myself about that, and that's not distinctly talking about doing stuff that is undignified. It's about really being free to express. As Brian just said, a freedom to express. And I believe that's really the point that I wanted to make, and that is in worship, in praise, if you will, in praise and singing and dance and expression is an outcropping of something going on inside my heart, inside my presentation of my body, myself, my mind, my heart as a living sacrifice. Does that make sense? Now, what else does it involve? It involves every aspect of my life. And that's what I want to talk about for a while down the road for this time frame, is because it involves that which I do with my finances. That's an act of worship. That which I do with my money, whether I give it or whether I hoard it or whether I greedily keep it for myself and my things, or do I allow God to use it as He wants to use it in me? My love for my wife, that's an act of worship. You know what else is a good act of worship? I'm going to tell you, it's a spiritual act of presentation. It's fellowship of brothers and sisters. It's where we get together. You know, Tina that shared with us her heart's cry right now. That's an act of worship. To say, I need my people, my family, to come together and pray. That's an act of worship. Hello? Because it's an act of humility. It's an act of, I need to just say, here, I need help. That's an act of worship. All that we do when we do it in the name of the Lord and glorify God is an act of worship. Hello? Amen. If there's one point, though, that the Holy Spirit keeps saying to me, and it's, oh, I got it. So I'm going to, I just hooked you for a second, because I need you to be with me for a second, is I've listened to a couple of different messages, people I enjoy listening to, and their New Year's messages and stuff, and it's really exciting people, Robert Morris, Bill Johnson, Gateway, Bethel, different ones that I really enjoy listening to on a regular basis and kind of get fed outside of the Word of God. And that's just a couple. Craig Groeschel, if you haven't heard of him, Life Church. These are some really dynamic speakers and preachers and pastors that I respect, and so therefore I'll listen to a lot of the things that they say in regards to what God, I feel the Holy Spirit doing. And it's, what's interesting to me, every single one of them, their New Year's message was on the same topic of bringing in worship into the body of Christ in this new year. Like, whoa. I was like, yes, I'm in line with what the Holy Spirit's saying. Yes, yes. I wasn't copying what they were saying. I was like, yes. I was actually being encouraged that God is speaking this to the body of Christ at large. I'm like, do you guys hear that?
Yeah.
That's good news. That's good news. I take that as good news. I mean that. And I this isn't to tout me at all, but I'm listening to what the Holy Spirit's saying. There's one God, one faith, and one Spirit. And He's speaking right now to the live body of Christ, His body. You guys receive that?
Yes.
Good, good. There's one point that I feel like the Holy Spirit's saying, and this was the same message that I've heard all of them say this. There's one other guy I listened to that he didn't say this. It was more about all just singing, and I'm not going to tell you who that was, so that's okay. But there's this one point is this, is don't reduce worship to the thing that you want worship to be. You guys hear me? Do not reduce worship to the thing that you like. I heard that this week, not just in my spirit, and I heard it in different messages, and that very thought kept getting deeper and deeper and deeper into me. Oh, and everywhere I went, and I had a discussion this morning with Kinsey, and it was neat because I took her to the airport. Yeah, the airport. That's where I took her this morning at 5:30, 5 o'clock this morning or something like that. And so she's already down south and getting ready to go to school. And we were discussing this topic and as what I was going to talk about. And she shared this, and I thought it was super interesting because I love the fact that my children have come to a place of expressing a freedom in their relationship with God to where they're able to actually speak it and talk it through and process it, I think, scripturally and correctly and freely. And she said, "So where I actually feel connected with God most, and it's a place of worship in my life, is when I sit and read, when I sit and draw, when I'm doing the thing that I love to do for the glory of God and for God's glory." That's basically all that she said. And I was like, wow, that's so good. That's really deep. Can I use that? She's like, Dad, shut up. Just don't get weird. But it's like, oh. And I just was like, that's just really good because it's a place that she says, I feel so connected with God when I'm doing the thing that I love to do, that God's gifted me and given me a passion for to do. And it's really awesome to see. And I got to tell you guys this. Where's Blake? Is Blake in the room?
No.
Okay, good. Let me talk about it real quick. We thought that Blake was a superstar in college because it was like everything he did was so easy. I'm telling you, she's even way up here. You know, he was up here. Cameron was like, what are you doing down there? You know, Devin did really, really good. But Kinsey's like, man, she's like a superstar.
Yeah.
I mean, she's gotten like better grades and stuff already, and she's loving it. And it's like even easier for her than it was for Blake. And it's like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. So thank you, Lord, for that. Yeah. Anyway, take that.
Praise God for that.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Amen. She loves it. Let me go on. I got a couple great points. I'm going to share some other. This is neat. Transformation takes place in worship. So we're going to discuss this, what it is actually is. If it's this place of connection, you know, as Romans 12:1 says, I present your bodies as a living sacrifice, which is your spiritual act. It's holy and acceptable to God. It's your spiritual act of worship. This next phrase that he says is, do not be conformed, but be transformed. In other words, when we present our bodies, ourselves, our hearts, our mind, our soul to God as a living sacrifice, that's where transformation takes place. The actual change that's sustainable is taking place in the midst of worship. Hello? Actual change and transformation is taking place in the place of worship. It's where we get the phrase, you become like what you worship. That's because that's where transformation is taking place. Change is actually happening. Hello? Yeah. And so maybe this is a place where we should, you know, and I'm talking sustainable change. You guys know what unsustainable change looks like? Yeah. It's called New Year's resolutions. That's the stuff that doesn't stick. Already, right? What's the date today? The 7th. That's a whole week. A whole week. And how many of you already thrown your diet out the window? Oh, yeah. Yeah, most of us have got smart enough. Well, I said, yeah, forget that again. I'm not going to do that. But sustainable change actually takes place in worship. Oh, do you guys want me? Can I? This is so good. It's so rich and true and pure. The life of Christ in me, and I could share my experience, and I'll share just a little bit, where I was fearful in places in my life, so fearful I was almost paralyzed to move forward in, was in marriage and parenting. Marriage and parenting, I was almost paralyzed with fear because I didn't know how and I didn't know what it looked like. And I knew that this woman that God had placed into my life that I did not deserve, that I loved so much, I was afraid I was going to break her and hurt her to where I almost didn't go forward with that. You guys following with me for a second? Now, in the place of worship, where I then, and I distinctly remember it, like it was, I seriously remember sitting on the couch and saying, I present my body, my being, my whole self to you, God, as a living sacrifice. And I'm a mess, and I don't know how to do life right. And when I presented my body, myself, my being to God as a living sacrifice, transformation started to happen. Transformation started to take place. Sustainable change started to settle into my very soul, to my very being, to where my nature was becoming like God's nature. And I said was, and because it still is, I haven't reached it yet. Just in case you, if any of you think that I'm something, I'm going to tell you I'm really nothing without Christ. And I mean that. That's not a false humble boast. It is a real truth. It is a real truth. My wife will tell you. She will. She'll tell you the darn truth. It's like, you, in your flesh, I don't like you. That's humbling. Right? Okay, what guy wants to hear that? It's like, you really aren't all that good looking and all that great in your flesh. Yeah, okay. Yeah. But she's right. She's right. It's the truth. But that's true. And wherever I feel like if I'm doing it okay and I'm hunky-dory and I'm not hungry for change, that's a bad place and a scary place to be, because that's in my flesh. And that's a place where I get glory and not God. And that's a place where death, destruction, and damage come into play. Because that's what the devil's about. To steal, kill, and destroy. Loss, death, and destruction. And any place pride settles in is a place where the enemy rises up. And the enemy rises up to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's it. That's it. That's it. And he'll tempt you with, look, you can be somebody or something. Just so he could steal, kill, and destroy you. Go ahead, sister. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Can I get you to speak in this? Can you flip this? Because I want to hear it. I want everybody to hear it. You can sit down there, but just...
Okay. So what you were just saying about when we are taking our blessings and taking the accomplishments of our life and thinking that we've done something, that's not sustainable. Because no. We take the glory from God and we take away his power and what we've done, and then we open that up to the enemy to Amen. Be destroyed. So it's Amen. Very fleeting.
Amen. Pride always. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate you sharing that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's just one aspect of worship, I believe. Transformation takes place in worship. Sustainable change actually happens. Isn't that good news? I just want us to receive that as good news. Because we could get really frustrated, discouraged, that it seems like just nothing's changing. Has anybody else ever said that to yourself? Why do I keep doing the stupid things I keep doing? Amen. Could it be as simple as it's just a place that I have not surrendered over to God? Oh, could it be that simple? Could it be that simple? I've had a discussion with different people, and I don't mean to... Okay, I'm just going to go forward with this. This is good. I'm going to skip about 4 points and go straight to this last one, and we'll go back to the others next week, just so you know. Got to come back. It's the place where my thing or the thing becomes his thing. In worship, in communion, in connection with God, us connecting to God and God connecting to us, it's the place where he pings us. You ever been pinged by God? You guys know what I'm talking about?
No.
What is pinged? Thanks, David. He's laughing. You know what I'm talking about, right? You guys know what I'm talking about, to be pinged? You guys have smartphones, right? Right? You get pinged when your notifications are turned on and somebody sends you a message. Ping! Right? That's what being pinged means. It's connecting to. It's that thing that we do when we try to reach somebody. When we try to get their attention. We ping them. Okay, you text them. Facebook Messenger. I get more people that contact me through Facebook Messenger than anybody. And then others like, well, just text me. Well, maybe they don't have my number. Anyway.
There are reasons.
Anyway. So here's what I want to discuss this. And this is interesting. And I think it's neat to just bring it to light. Is, I got a good brother here named Brian. One of his used to be favorite phrases, and he's grown up and he's matured in this, was this. Well, my thing is, anybody been talking to Brian and he say that? Well, here's my thing. My thing is, you don't, as far as the east is from the west, brother. Yeah, that's a past. Here's my thing. Here's what always would follow that up. And here's, so let me, I need to just put it into context. You guys with me? And the context is this. Hey, brother, Brian, here's something that, here is an act of obedience that God is putting in front of you to be able to do. Here's something that God is saying for you to do. And he said, yeah, but my thing is, do you hear what happened there? I love to pick on him because it's not just fun, but it's actually true and real. is we place the thing or my thing as a barrier to obedience. If you want to call it a barrier, you can call it a block. You can call it an actual thing. You can call it, because it is a thing. It is something that is in the way of what God is saying for you to do, calling you to do. Yes, you have a question? Yeah, okay. You weren't sure? That simple. Amen. Let me follow up with what you're saying there, Lisa, and I think it's really good. What I would like to just, in the context of what we're saying here, is we need to turn our notifications on to the Holy Spirit in light of the Son in relationship to the Father. Do you guys hear what I'm saying in that? Is we need to turn our notifications on, if you will. I know I'm using the technological terms that refer to smartphones and stuff, and if you don't have a smartphone and you don't know what I'm talking about, it's the place and you can when you first get these phones, they already come this is interesting. They come by default with all the notifications on. You have to go through and shut them off if you don't want to be pinged by people getting a hold of you. Do you guys hear me?
Yes.
What? Did I just over-spiritualize something that's very real? You come already made to connect with God.
Amen.
You come that way. You come that way. Sin has screwed it all up. And let me just, I hate to be this guy. Yes, Adam and Eve brought it in, but you downloaded the app. And you pressed agree to all of its terms. You did. You might not have read the fine print, which is death, loss, and destruction, but you downloaded it and pressed agree and said, woohoo, party! Right? You guys know what I'm talking about. Yes, you do.
You see, but on the bottom of that, where all the notifications are, there's that factory reset button.
I know. Yeah, the factory reset button. Who wants to do that? Because then I'll lose all my information and stuff. Yeah, it's all in the cloud. Okay, let's go back. Let's go back to the actual message. I know. Yeah. Actually, you could spiritualize that whole thing, couldn't you? I think you could, if you allow God and turn your notifications on to ping you in this regard. And what this means, and so I know we're having fun with this, and I'm glad that we are, because I think it opens up the understanding of what God is actually desiring when he says, these are the true worshipers that the Father speaks in spirit and in truth. in spirit and in truth. You know, God is actually seeking people to worship God in spirit and truth, because in the midst of that worship is the place where transformation takes place. We've got to engage with God and allow God to engage with us and actually transform us and change us. So yes, that means so many different things. And to even talk about it for another 5 minutes isn't going to really do it justice. So we're going to talk about it for some time in the future. Is yes, it means being in your word. That means falling in love with the word of God. That means falling in love with our Savior and Lord and giving him and surrendering my life to him. You guys hear me? That means engaging in fellowship of brothers and sisters. Do you guys hear me? That means all of that stuff is, to me, it's allowing the notifications to still be on. You can disconnect and you can disassociate and you could turn all your notifications to where you just deal with it on your own. You can do that. God loves you so much that he's given you free will to choose to do what you want to do in the mess you want to make. He loves you that much. But he also loves you even more that he's given us the great exchange. In Christ, we have life. We can exchange death for life in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's awesome. So in worship, we get pinged. Remember, singing and worship and praise is just an outcropping, a fruit of that which is going on. Why is it sometimes it's such a struggle to actually engage in singing and praise and worship? With everything I just said, why is that a struggle?
Because you let your flesh get in the way and it says, I can't carry a tune, so I can't sing.
Okay, so it becomes the thing that gets in the way from actually connecting with God. Is it because sometimes, too, the ping is too loud? God, the Holy Spirit is... He's too much in my business? And when I do this, and when I sing, and when I say, Jesus, I love you, it's too much in my business. The ping gets too loud. Man, the Holy Spirit's saying stuff all over the place. I hear him, like, I can hear him speaking to you guys. It's really weird. I'm tuning out and listening to my own conversation with him. I want to share with you, I'm rereading Richard Foster's Celebration of Discipline. Anybody ever read that? A couple of you? Awesome. Awesome. Just a, like, wow, super insightful. Just really good. To me, I compare him to... liken him to writers such as like Watchman Nee. If you haven't read Watchman Nee, Celebration of the Spiritual Man, you should read it. It's fantastic. And then when you're done, you're going to want to reread it. It's really good because it's that good. You always want to keep it somewhere close. Celebration of Discipline. He says this, and this is so awesome. I'm just going to read a lot of what he says because it's so good. He says this is... if worship does not change us, it has not been worship. To stand before the Holy One of eternity is to change. Resentments, unforgiveness, they cannot be held with the same tenacity when we enter His gracious light. As Jesus said, we will need to leave our gift at the altar and go set a matter straight. You guys hear what that just said? I want us to just identify what that said. Is in worship, God the Spirit will speak to you, you must forgive, you must love. Go set it straight. Put your hands down, shut your mouth, and go apologize to somebody. That's what Jesus said. When you go to connect with God and get right with God at the altar... and God, the Holy Spirit, pings you and says, but you have an issue with somebody, your brother, your sister, and you've had resentment there and bitterness and unforgiveness. deal with this. I'll be here. I'm not going anywhere. I'm God. Go get that right. You guys hear me? That's what he says. What happens, it actually happens in worship, is we're compelled to get right, make right the things and issues of life that we've made wrong. Oh, that gets gritty, doesn't it? But can't I just sit and love Jesus and forget about all you stupid people? No, you can't. That was pretty, I'm sure that was funny looking. I don't want to know what that looked like.
That was good.
No. Robin tells me all the time, why do you make that weird face? I don't know. It just is there. I don't know.
Ping for us old timers before the iPhone was the sound of the aluminum bat. You know, that's what God is telling me.
Yeah, praise the Lord. That's what ping means to you. Do you know what James even said it this way? He said, you know, in James chapter 3, he says, he's talking about the tongue. He said, no one can tame the tongue. He said, with the tongue, we actually praise and worship our God. And at the same time, we speak curses to man, on man, our brother, our sister. And he says it in a way that I think is super interesting. He says, this is not right, or this should not be. I think James is actually like, if you can even stomach this, to be, James is being a little milquetoasty there. He's being a little bit of a pansy. And that doesn't sound right, because James says things like as point blank, clear and concise as anybody ever says it. Five chapters of in your face, Christian, do what you're supposed to do. Faith without, if you say I have faith and you don't do the things that faith is supposed to produce, you ain't got no faith. In fact, it's dead faith. He says it in a way that nobody else says it. And all he says is, well, this isn't right. It's more of, but then he actually backs it up with this. In other words, you guys following with me real quick, what I was just saying? In other words, we say we love God, but I don't like you. Not only is that not right and it's not okay, it's actually impossible. Because he says it in the way he says, it's as though a fig tree producing grapes, or a thistle, a thorn bush producing figs, a freshwater stream bringing salt water out of it. It's not as though, you know, that's just not a good idea. That's not what he's saying there. He's not saying it's not a good idea. He's saying that's impossible. You cannot worship God and at the same time curse your brother. Hello? I didn't want to get gritty. I asked the Lord, please, Lord, can I not get gritty today? I do. I ask him that a lot. I want to be a nice guy.
You're not.
I want people to... I want people to like me. Oh, that's touche. That was a good one. I don't think I'm really serious about asking God that way, but I do. Let me move on to what Richard Foster says, because it just gets deeper and better as we go on, because I think this is super super crucial to understand, and I'm gonna deal with this, and I don't think I could deal with the actual topic of it this week, because it's going to take some time. It says, in worship, an increased power steals its way into the heart, into your heart. An increased compassion grows in the soul. To worship is to change. And if worship doesn't propel us to greater obedience, it has not been worship. Worship is more about a feeling, an emotion that we connect with God. It's more than that. It's an act of obedience, and it produces obedience. It's almost as though, if you can envision this, the actual act of worship, of obeying, produces more obedience. The actual act of doing what God calls us to do and being who God called you to be actually produces more of who God called you to be. Wow. That's awesome. That's Christianity. That's the gospel. That's the good news. I just simply walk forward and he gives me the strength to keep walking forward. I go this way and he says, now I'm not only going to be with you going that way, I'm going to actually compel you and give you vision and give you purpose going the way that you started out to go and give you strength in that way. Hallelujah. I need to just finish up. Well, let me finish up what he says here because it just gets better. And again, I'm going to talk about some of these issues. Is authentic worship will impel us to join in, listen to this, the Lamb's war against demonic powers everywhere. Not only on the personal level, but also on the social level and even in the body level. I know, that is awesome. Jesus, the Lamb of God, is our commander-in-chief. We receive his orders in and for service as we engage in worship with God, for God. See, worship is so key. It's key to freedom. It's key to transformation. It's key to purpose, life, and what you have today. I think it's, I think they said it's 2018 is the year of life. I'm not just being, it's not Chinese year of life or anything like that. I'm not saying that, but it's been stated by prophetic voices that it's the year of life where exchange is made from death to life. That's awesome. And I believe that's going to happen in a lot of people's lives as we engage in worship. Worship is not for the timid or the comfortable. It involves opening of ourselves to the dangerous life of the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. I'm just going to end there. And there's so much more to this. It's going to get... We just need to move on and pray and ask the Lord to continue to do what he's doing in this room right now, not this conversation be just the one that we can take and leave and forget about, but that this will stick to us. So even in this, as I'm speaking this, I'm praying, Father God, in the name of Jesus, by the power of your Spirit, sustain us, hold us as we worship you. In song, as we praise you with our hands, with our voices, also do a work inside of us that says that is needing to be done, a transforming work. And here's what I'm asking you, and I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to do in each of our midst, in each of our hearts, in each of our mind, in each of our soul. Is to make the ping so loud that we can't ignore it any longer. That as you speak to us, we can't ignore you. And yes, you love us and you give us the choice to obey or not obey. But I'm asking you to make your voice so loud and clear to each one of us that we cannot ignore. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for your Spirit, a Spirit of love that permeates this entire house. In Jesus' name, you get all the glory. Amen. Amen.